Catholic Family Podcast presents Lent Around the World, daily traditional Catholic meditations read by our friends from across the globe.
This is Sienna Lewis reading to you from Marion, Ohio, from the book Letter to the Friends of the Cross by St. Louis de Montfort. Introduction. Dear Friends of the Cross, since the Divine Cross keeps me hidden and prevents me from speaking, I cannot and do not even wish to express to you by word of mouth the feelings of my heart on the divine excellence and practices of your association in the adorable cross of Jesus Christ. However, on this last day of my retreat, I come out, as it were, from the sweet retirement of my interior, to trace upon paper a few little arrows from the cross with which to pierce your noble hearts. God grant that I could point them with the blood of my veins, and not with the ink of my pen. Even if blood were required, mine, alas, would be unworthy. May the Spirit of the living God, then, be the life, vigor, and tenor of this letter. May his unction be my ink, his divine cross my pen, and your hearts my paper. Part 1. Excellence of the Association of the Friends of the Cross. Grandeur of the name, Friends of the Cross. Friends of the Cross, you are a group of crusaders united to fight against the world, not like those religious men and women who leave the world for fear of being overcome, but like brave, intrepid warriors on the battlefront, refusing to retreat or even to yield an inch. Be brave. Fight with all your might. Bind yourselves together in that strong union of heart and mind, which is far superior, far more terrifying to the world and hell than the armed forces of a well-organized kingdom are to its enemies. Demons are united for your destruction, but you, be united for their overthrow. The avaricious are united to barter and hoard up gold and silver. Combine your efforts in the pursuit of the eternal treasures hidden in the cross. Reprobates unite to make merry, but you, be united to suffer. You call yourselves Friends of the Cross. What a wonderful name! I must admit that it charms and fascinates me. It is brighter than the sun, higher than the heavens, more imposing and resplendent than any title given to king or emperor. It is the great name of Christ himself, true God and true man, at one and the same time. It is the unmistakable title of a Christian. Its splendor dazzles me, but the weight of it frightens me. For this title implies that you have taken upon yourselves difficult and inescapable obligations, which are summed up in the words of the Holy Ghost: a chosen generation, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. A friend of the cross is one chosen by God from among 10,000 who have reason and sense for their only guide. He is truly divine, raised above reason and thoroughly opposed to the things of sense, for he lives in the light of true faith and burns with love for the cross. A friend of the cross is a mighty king, a hero who triumphs over the devil, the world, the flesh, and their threefold concupiscence. He overthrows the pride of Satan by his love for humiliation. He triumphs over the world's greed by his love for poverty, and he restrains the sensuality of the flesh by his love for suffering. A friend of the cross is a holy man, separated from visible things. His heart is lifted high above all that is frail and perishable. His conversation is in heaven. He journeys here below like a stranger and pilgrim. He keeps his heart free from the world, looks upon it with an unconcerned glance of his left eye, and disdainfully tramples it underfoot. A friend of the cross is a trophy which the crucified Christ won on Calvary in union with his blessed mother. He is another Benjamin, a son of sorrow, a son of the right hand. Conceived in the sorrowful heart of Christ, he comes into this world through the gash in the Savior's right side and is all empurpled in his blood. True to his heritage, he breathes forth only crosses and blood, death to the world, the flesh, and sin, and hides himself here below with Christ Jesus in God. Thus, a perfect friend of the cross is a true Christ-bearer, or rather another Christ, so much that he can say with truth, I live, now not I, but Christ liveth in me. My dear friends of the cross, does every act of yours justify what the eminent name you bear implies? Or at least are you, with the grace of God, in the shadow of Calvary's cross and of Our Lady of Pity, really eager and truly striving to attain this goal? Is the way you follow the one that leads to this goal? Is it the true way of life, the narrow way, the thorn-strewn way to Calvary? Or are you unconsciously traveling the world's broad road, the road to perdition? Do you realize that there is a high road which to all appearances is straight and safe for man to travel, but which in reality leads to death? Do you really know the voice of God and grace from the voice of the world and human nature? Do you distinctly hear the voice of God, our kind Father, pronouncing his threefold curse upon everyone who follows the world and its concupiscence? Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. And then appealing to you with outstretched arms, be separated, my chosen people. Beloved friends of the cross of my Son, be separated from those worldlings, for they are accursed by my majesty, repudiated by my Son, and condemned by my Holy Spirit. Do not sit in their chair of pestilence. Take no part in their gatherings. Do not even step along their highways. Hurry away from this great and infamous Babylon. Hearken only to the voice of my beloved Son. Follow only in his footprints, for he is the one I have given to be your way, truth, and life, and model. Hear ye him. Is your ear attentive to the pleadings of the lovable and cross-burdened Jesus? Come, follow me. He that followeth me walketh not in darkness. Have confidence. I have conquered the world. The two groups, the followers of Christ and the followers of the world. Dear brethren, these are the two groups that appear before you each day, the followers of Christ and the followers of the world. Our loving Savior's group is to the right, scaling a narrow path made all the narrower by the world's corruption. Our kind Master is in the lead, barefooted, thorn-crowned, robed in his blood and weighted with a heavy cross. There is only a handful of people who follow him, but they are the bravest of the brave. His gentle voice is not heard above the tumult of the world, or men do not have the courage to follow him in poverty, suffering, humiliation, and in the other crosses his servants must bear all the days of their life. The opposing spirit of the groups. To the left is the world's group, the devil's, in fact, which is far superior in number, and seemingly far more colorful and splendid in array. Fashionable folk are all in a hurry to enlist. The highways are overcrowded, although they are broad and ever-broadening with the crowds that flow through in a torrent. These roads are strewn with flowers, bordered with all kinds of amusements and attractions, and paved with gold and silver. To the right, the little flock that follows Jesus can speak only of tears, penance, prayer, and contempt for worldly things. Sobbing in their grief, they can be heard repeating, "Let us suffer, let us weep, let us fast, let us pray, let us hide, let us humble ourselves, let us be poor, let us mortify ourselves, for he who has not the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the cross, is none of Christ." Those who are Christ have crucified their flesh with its concupiscence. We must be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, or else be damned. Be brave, they keep saying to each other. Be brave, for if God is for us, in us, and leading us, who dare be against us? The one who is dwelling within us is stronger than the one who is in the world. No servant is above his master. One moment of light tribulation worketh an eternal weight of glory. There are fewer elect than men may think. Only the brave and daring take heaven by storm. The crown is given only to those who strive lawfully according to the gospel, not according to the fashion of the world. Let us pool all our strength into the fight and run very fast to reach the goal and win the crown. Friends of the cross, spur each other on with such divine words. Worldlings, on the contrary, rouse one another to persist in their unscrupulous depravity. Enjoy life, peace, and pleasure, they shout. Enjoy life, peace, and pleasure. Let us eat, let us drink, let us sing, let us dance, let us play. God is good. He did not make us to damn us. God does not forbid us to enjoy ourselves. We shall not be damned for that. Away with the scruples. We shall not die. And so they continue. Loving Appeal of Jesus. Dear brethren, remember that our beloved Jesus has his eyes upon you at this moment, addressing you individually. See how almost everybody leaves me practically alone on the royal road of the cross. Blind idol worshippers sneer at my cross and brand it folly. Obstinate Jews are scandalized at the sight of it as at some monstrosity. Heretics tear it down and break it to pieces out of sheer contempt. But one thing I cannot say without my eyes filling with tears and my heart being pierced with grief is that the very children I nourished in my bosom and trained in my school, the very members I quickened with my spirit, have turned against me, forsaken me, and joined the ranks of the enemies of my cross. Would you also leave me? Would you also forsake me and flee from my cross, like the worldlings, who are acting as so many antichrists? Would you subscribe to the standards of the day, despise the poverty of my cross and go in quest of riches, shun the sufferings connected with my cross to run after pleasure, spurn the humiliations that must be borne with my cross and pursue worldly honors? There are many who pretend that they are friends of mine and love me, but in reality they hate me because they have no love for my cross. I have many friends of my table, but few indeed of my cross. In answer to the gracious invitation which Jesus extends, let us rise above ourselves. Let us not, like Eve, listen to the insidious suggestion of sense. Let us look up to the unique author and finisher of our faith, Jesus crucified. Let us fly from the corrupting concupiscence and enticements of a corrupt world. Let us love Jesus in the right way, standing by him through the heaviest of crosses. Let us meditate seriously on these remarkable words of our beloved Master, which sum up the Christian life in its perfection. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.